Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Genshaw Valley Presbyterian Church. It's great to have you here today on such a beautiful day. I don't have any other announcements than other. It's wonderful to see you all. We will turn it over to Tom.
On this beautiful Sunday, this Easter side Sunday, we gather to worship God. Let us call one another to worship. God raised him up.
Jesus is Lord.
God gave him the name.
Jesus is Lord.
Higher than all.
Jesus is Lord.
Every knee bow.
Jesus is Lord.
All tongues confess.
Jesus is Lord.
Let us sing to that joy. Let us sing to that name as we rise, if able, and join our voices in song. With one voice, we join our hearts in prayer confession. God of mercy, we have hidden our faces from you. We have turned a deaf ear to the cries of the poor. We have ignored the people who look to us for help. We have trusted in the false promises of the world, not in your words that can transform our lives. Forgive us, steadfast God, and shine your face upon us. Help us to have the same mind as Christ, so we would know your promises. Help us to have the same heart as Christ, so we might serve your children. Help us to have the same spirit as Christ, so we might go wherever you lead us. A time of silence that we can bring our personal prayers of confession. Dear friends, this is the good news. There is no ranking in God's kingdom. God's graces everyone with the same gifts: mercy, restoration, new life. God has kept the covenant. We have been forgiven. We have been made new people. Thanks be to God.
Glory be to the Father, and to God, Son, and
together we confess the faith of the Church. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Send your greeting and your blessing abroad. None of us lives to ourselves alone. We are part of one another and part of all of God's family. We're called to prayer together. We rejoice with those who rejoice. We weep with those who weep. We offer our prayers for one another and for the world. Let us pray. God of our Lord Jesus, the liberating King, Father of glory, Spirit of peace, we call out to your name on behalf of your people, on behalf of all of our brothers and sisters. Give each of us a mind ready to receive your wisdom, your revelation, so that we will truly know you. Open the eyes of our hearts and let the light of your truth flood in. For we are so lost without your truth, your presence. Show us what you have promised. Shine your light on the hope you are calling us to embrace. Reveal to us the glorious riches you are preparing as our inheritance. Let us see among us and around us the full extent of your power at work in all things. In those of us who believe, and among all of those who serve your kingdom. May your will be done according to your might and power. We pray for the unwell, for those facing challenges beyond their abilities, for those under the grip of depression, for families in stress and conflict, for children and others caught in the crossfires of war and violence. In our silence now, we pray for one another. Oh God, we give you thanks for all who work, whose work is a vocation, whose life is a living testimony of service and compassion. For every gift and every blessing, we give you thanks in Jesus' name, who taught us in prayer to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. If able, please rise as the hymn offers to us our hymn of meditation.
Oh,
Please be seated, and please worship the Lord as we bring our gifts of praise. Blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. We've been watching Miss Austin on Masterpiece Theater, and it's complicated, all the names. So after the first episode, there are four, after the first I did some looking around and investigating, and I made a playbill. Okay, this is the cousin, this is the friend, this is the... Get all these names straight, because they were all so confusing to me. So I sit there, and today we'll watch the last one, and I'll have all the names in front of me, so I know who's who. Well, we need something like that this morning for the reading of Scripture. So let me just take a moment and set in context the Old Testament reading that we'll hear. First of all, maybe you know that after the death of Solomon, the kingdom of Israel, split in two, just like we did at the Civil War. There was a northern kingdom and there was a southern kingdom. The northern kingdom had a capital in Samaria, and the southern kingdom had a capital in Jerusalem. Each kingdom had a king. Most of the time they hated each other. Sometimes they killed each other, fought with each other. But in the reading today, the two kings are comrades. And one of the reasons is the son of the king of the south married the daughter of the king of the north. So the two kings had family connections together. Who are these kings? Well, the king of Israel in the north is Ahab. You might remember that he had an evil wife by the name of Jezebel. Actually, they deserved each other. They were both evil. Ahab in the north. And in the southern kingdom, we had Jehoshaphat. And you've probably heard of him if you've ever watched a Bugs Bunny cartoon. You'll have to look that up and find out what I'm talking about. So in the reading today, the king of the southern kingdom, Jehoshaphat, makes a journey north to pay a visit to the King of Israel. And so that's the background of the story. And let's hear it, as it's recorded in 1 Kings. But also, since we're preaching through the Ten Commandments, we begin with the first three commandments, the third commandment being our focus today. So listen for the word of the Lord. 1st, the commandment. And God spoke all these words, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above, on the earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. And then the commandment, the third commandment. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. We probably remember that more as, do not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. And now the story. Ahab, king of the north, sent for about 400 prophets and asked, should I attack the Syrians at Ramoth? Yes, the prophets answered. The Lord will help you defeat them. But Jehoshaphat, the king of the south, said, just to make sure, is there another of the Lord's prophets we can ask? We could ask Micaiah, son of Imlah, Ahab said. But I hate Micaiah. He always has bad news for me. Don't say that, Jehoshaphat replied. Then Ahab sent someone to bring Micaiah as soon as possible. Now, I'm not reading this part, but just to let you know, when they bring the prophet, he tells the king the truth of what's going to happen. He's going to be toast. He's going to lose this war. And so the reading picks up. Meanwhile, the messenger who went to get Micaiah whispered, Micaiah, all the prophets have good news for Ahab. Now go and say the same thing, the prophet says. I'll say whatever the living Lord tells me to say. Micaiah replied. Then Micaiah went to Ahab, and Ahab asked, Micaiah, should I attack the Syrians at Ramoth? Yes, Micaiah answered. The Lord will help you defeat them. Micaiah, I've told you over and over to tell me the truth, Ahab shouted. What does the Lord really say? And I was wrong when I threw that insert in. Now the king hears. He hears utter defeat and his own death. So the story picks up. Zedekiah walked up to Micaiah, slapped him in the face. Then he asked, do you really think the Lord would speak to you and not to me? Micaiah answered, You'll find out on the day you have to hide in the back room of some house. Ahab shouted, "Arrest Micaiah! Take him to Prince Joash and Governor Ammon of Samaria. Tell them to put him in prison and to give him nothing but bread and water until I come back safely." Micaiah said, "If you do come back, I was wrong about what the Lord wanted me to say." Then he told the crowd, "Don't forget what I said." And now the reading of the New Testament.
The New Testament is Philippians 2:5-11. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the reading of the word.
Thanks be to God. Amen. Let's pray. Jesus, name above all names, beautiful Savior, glorious Lord, Emmanuel, God with us, blessed Redeemer, living Word, come among us now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. When I was growing up, we had two services on a Sunday. We had a Sunday morning service, and it was somewhat formal. Can any of you women remember when women wore hats and white gloves to church? Raise your hand if you ever wore white gloves. Some of you remember those days. So our early service, by the way, and little children, little boys like me, 10 years old, they put us in suits and ties at 10 years old. So it was a formal time for Sunday morning. And then we had evening church. Not as many people there. We sang the old hymns. We sang hymns like, "Jesus is the sweetest name I know. And he's just the same as his lovely name. And that is why I love him so. Jesus is the sweetest name I know." We sang hymns, and most of us didn't. We would hold a hymnal, but we knew the words because we'd sung those hymns over and over again. They were in the memory. And then there was a seminary hymn, I remember. The seminary I'm connected to in Rochester, New York. And the seminary has a hymn. I wish that you could hear those male voices sing an unfamiliar tune, "Diadem," the tune, and the words you probably know, the hymn you've sung, "The all hail the power of Jesus' name, let angels prostrate fall, bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all." And those male voices, "Crown him, crown him, crown him, crown." Wish you could have heard that. Oh my goodness. Thrilling and wonderful to hear. And then I became a pastor, and I had the privilege of telling those stories, preaching those stories about the name. Like that story in the book of Acts, where we have Peter and John, and they're walking to the temple for prayer. And there at the gate of the city is a beggar. He's not there on his own steam. He can't walk. His family and his friends carry him every day and place him at the gates of the city. And he sits there with hands raised as people coming and going from the temple might feel some kind of goodness and give him a coin or two. And he lifts his hands and begs for alms. But on that day when Peter and John are on their way into the temple, they stop in front of this beggar. And those amazing words that Peter says that moment, "Silver and gold have I none, but what I do have, I give to you." And then Peter said, "In the name of Jesus, stand up and walk." And he did. All through the Bible, we see these evidences, we see these stories of the name being sacred, that there is power and presence in the name. And so the name is always a sacred thing. By invoking God's name, by invoking Jesus' name, we are invoking the very presence, power, and purposes of God. And so the third commandment is this commandment against taking what is sacred and using it in a profane way. Of course, part of that is language. That is, we would not use the name of God in a way that is unholy, because it's holy name. These first three commandments actually coalesce. If it looks like they flow into each other, they do. The Catholics and the Lutherans actually combine what we other Protestants call the first and second commandment into one commandment. And then they break the 10th commandment into two parts. So you can see that these first three commandments are focused on God. Commandments 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9 will focus on family and community. But the first three commandments focus on God. No other gods. No images. No misuse of what is holy, the name. These three commandments hold and cohere together. The story we heard from 1 Kings is a story about misuse and a story about honoring God's name. As you've heard the story, and if you can remember those details that we focused on earlier today, the king of Judah in the south left Jerusalem. It says he went down. He went north, but he went down because you have to go down in order to leave Jerusalem. He went down and went to visit his comrade in arms, Ahab, the king of Israel. Well, Ahab was not in a good mood. And I'll tell you why. There was this disputed territory called Ramoth-Gilead. And Ahab was going crazy over the fact that it had fallen into the hands of the Syrians. The Syrians are the country just to the north of Israel. Kings are always going crazy over things like this. Have you noticed in the news? Some dictator, some leader is going crazy all the time. Some designated piece of land is lost. That belongs to me. Whether it's Tibet or Taiwan or whether it's Crimea or whatever it is, kings go crazy over disputed land. They want it back. Drives them nuts. And it had been 3 years before since the last war. Why, kings go crazy in peace. 3 years of peace. Oh my goodness, we can't have that. And disputed land, why, it's right there for us to take it back. Kings go crazy over these things. And so when Jehoshaphat comes to visit Ahab, they have this conversation, and Ahab explains to him that he wants to get Ramoth-Gilead back. It belongs to me. And he says, would you join with me in the war? And Jehoshaphat said, well, absolutely. My army is your army. My horses are your army. I'll be glad to be a part of taking back Ramoth-Gilead. But after all, it's been 3 years of peace, and we can't stand that. Got to have another war. Kings love to go to war. I mean, don't they love to go to war? How many years in human history has there not been a war? But kings love war. They've got to have it. It's an addiction. Fighting, 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 fighting. The world history just full of it. People can't stand it when there's peace. And so Jehoshaphat said, of course, I'll join you. But then Jehoshaphat was a little wise, and he said, by the way, do you think we ought to ask God? Well, that's a good question, isn't it? You think we ought to check in with God before we go to war? Be a good idea if kings would do that more often. And Ahab said, yeah, let's check in with God. I have 400 prophets. And we'll just bring them in and we'll find out what the 400 prophets have to say. Now, I want to ask you a question. If you've got 400 prophets and they're all on the king's payroll, what's the chance that the king's going to hear something he doesn't want to hear? And so the 400 prophets were called together, and Ahab says to them, should I go to war with Syria to take back Ramoth-Gilead? And I'm making this part up, you know, I make half of this up. Yeah. The prophets got together and they started talking. And does anybody have a word from the Lord? No, I don't think so. Well, what are we going to tell the king? And one of the prophets says, what do you mean we're going to tell the king? What do you mean, what are we going to tell the king? We're going to tell the king what he wants to hear. All these preachers who gather around dictators and presidents, all these people, they tell the king, they tell the leader what he wants to hear. Well, that's what I do. I don't tell you anything you don't want to hear. Why should I make you angry at me? I just tell you what you want to hear. I just feed it up. You know, whatever you want to hear, I come in here on Sunday morning. I'll just tell you exactly what you want to hear. Well, I knew a preacher one time. He was in a church down in Birmingham, Alabama, back during those days. When he got up and started preaching, and he was preaching what the people didn't want to hear, why, he was out of his mind. He lost his church. He had a cabin in the Smoky Mountains, so he and his wife went to the cabin in Smoky Mountains. He waited for a call from another church, and he waited, and he waited, and he waited. You see what happens when you tell people what they don't want to hear? And so he took a job as a night clerk in a motel in the Smoky Mountains. He worked nights. He worked from 12 to the morning. You know, it's real quiet in a motel from 12 to 5. And for the rest of his working life, he was a clerk working the night shift in a motel, reading his books. He never got another church. You see what happens to people? You see what happens to preachers and prophets? I promise you, I will never tell you anything but what you want to hear, because that gets people in trouble. Count on it. So, the prophets say to the king, should I go to Ramoth Gilead? Should I start a war? Is it God's will? And one of the prophets war. And then one of the prophets says, the Lord will give you victory. The word of the Lord is spoken, right? And somebody has just broken the third commandment. And so then Jehoshaphat says, well, this is great. Looks like we're going to be going to war after all. Are there any other prophets? Have we heard from all of the prophets? And Ahab says, oh yeah, there's one more, but I hate him. I hate his guts. His name is Micaiah, and he always makes me mad. He tells me things that upset me every time. He never has anything good to say. But okay. I need your help for the war. Let's call this lonely prophet in. He's not a part of the 400. He's a lonely prophet. And so they have a messenger, and they send the messenger to this lonely little prophet, and the messenger says, little man, all the 400 prophets are saying, let's go to war. Don't you say anything different from that. And the little prophet said to the messenger, I'll say whatever the Lord gives me to say. Whatever the Lord gives me to say. And so they brought him forth before the king. King's already angry. He's just looking at this man who always tells him what he doesn't want to hear. He's already angry. And so he says to the little prophet, he says, well, should I go to war? And the little prophet, the lonely little prophet said, oh yes. Oh yes, go to war. The Lord is going to give you the victory. And at that moment, Ahab blows his stack. It was a part of the brain. And it was connected to him. He blew his stack. He went crazy. He went wild with anger. And he says to the little prophet, how many times do I have to tell you to tell me the truth? And so the little prophet keeps the third commandment. He tells Ahab, exactly what he's going to have, what's going to happen to him. The dogs are going to lick your blood. All of a sudden, one of the officers in the retinue, one of the king's men, he can't stand to hear this. He comes and he slaps the little prophet right in the face. And the king says, would you take him and put him in prison and feed him only water and bread until I get back? Dangerous to be a prophet, to keep the third commandment. What does a prophet do? What does a preacher do? When the Lord gives you something on your heart and in your head to say to the people of God, because a prophet is someone who speaks God's truth. That's what makes them a prophet. Everybody else is telling the king what the king wants to hear, but a prophet speaks God's truth, and God's truth is not for sale at any price. King goes into battle and never comes back. The little prophet. And there are some prophets still. If you listen, you might hear something that you don't want to hear, but you might hear it in terms of God being able to speak through a human personality telling us what we don't want to hear. There's another hymn that we used to sing. It goes like this. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. The name is sacred. The name is holy. And whenever we use and call upon the name, we are calling on God's sacred presence. And when we listen, and when we speak, and when we witness, and when we live in the name, we are keeping the third commandment. Let us pray. Oh God, speak to us your truth, and let us hear it sometimes from the lonely prophets that you send us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing hymn is on the screen, and we'll sing it through twice as we celebrate the name that is above every name. Let us stand together as we sing. us bless one another now as we go from this place. Go now in the righteousness of faith. Let nothing claim your devotion above the Lord, and count nothing of value above knowing Christ. Press on towards the ultimate prize of being one with Him, and may God's perfect word revive your soul. May Christ Jesus be your Savior and your rock, and may the Holy Spirit strengthen you to press ever onward. We go in peace, love, and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.